It's good to see y'all this morning. If you're our guest today, it is good to have you with us. And if you are the guest, you know that you might not know that for several weeks we've been talking about in our life groups. All of us are studying the same thing, and I speak on it on a Sunday, and then in our life groups we talk about it. And we've been dealing with different aspects of relationships, starting with the first one with God and man, and man and wife, and then as parents, and today as children. So we're supposed to have all our children in here with us during this service, mainly for this reason, that we can help remind them what their role is as a child. And if I could just start by saying, most of us would love to have a guarantee, a promise, that things could go well in our life on this earth. Everybody agree with that? And the fact is, too many people, children especially, grown children, so as I said earlier, it doesn't really matter if you're a 70-year-old children or a 5-year-old children, it's the same thing. Because at one point in time, you were a child, and if your parents, let me ask this, if you were 15 or older and one of your parents are still alive, raise your hand. If you're 50 or older and one of your parents are still alive, raise your hand. Wow. Okay. That's phenomenal. So it should help our younger children, but the older ones as well, because he doesn't qualify it. What we see in the scripture, it just says, do this. And it doesn't qualify whether you had bad parents or good parents. It just says, this is what it's supposed to be. And it is a promise. Benjamin Franklin, as he was speaking on the Constitution in the early days, he would go around and there were always, you know, hecklers in the crowd who would try to make fun of him. And he was talking about the Constitution and how the Constitution guaranteed the right, you know, for people to pursue happiness, and one of the guys stood up out in the audience and tried to, you know, were heckling him and says, oh, that's nonsense. You just need to go sit down. There's nothing in that Constitution. Where's all that happiness that you say it gives us? And being sharp, he said, it guarantees you the right to go after it. You got to catch it on your own, all right? This is an absolute promise that God says, if you do this, children, you're automatically, and here's the good thing, it doesn't even matter whether you're lost or saved. Did you know that? God says, if you even, you might be sitting here and you don't care anything about God, and you might even be an atheist. It doesn't really matter. If you honor your parents, automatically, the promise that goes with that will apply to you. That's the way it works. That's what the Ten Commandments are. You know, I've known people that didn't know Jesus, that didn't care a thing about Jesus, that learned a few things about, if you follow these principle guidelines that God gave, there's a blessing that comes with it, automatically. You know, the Ten Commandments, basically. When you do those things, there's automatically a blessing that just comes with it. But a guarantee, a promise, you know, do we know what that is anymore? Used to be, where when people said something, that's what that meant. Now, is any lawyers? Are there any lawyers in here? Hello. No offense. Are there any in here? Why is it this day and time? I'm sorry, I didn't get that. They don't go to church. I didn't say that. All right. If this is on the radio, if this is on the internet, I didn't say that. All right. But why is that? Why is it now a lawyer has to be involved with any kind of acquisition you make of any, you know, you can't really buy anything without a lawyer being there, can you? Why is that? Because now when people say something, most of them don't mean anything by it. You know, I'm only 60 years old, but I know for a fact my dad borrowed money when I was alive just with his handshake. Didn't have to do anything else. Why? Because then, and my dad was lost. My dad didn't come to Jesus till he was 60. But they all knew and were taught by their parents, you know, if you say this, that's what you do. You know, if you borrow that money, you pay that money back, even if it takes you 10 years. You know, I knew a guy that actually was the electrician for the house that Mom and Dad built in the 70s, and he had to file bankruptcy because things were bad. And it took him about 7 or 8 years. He didn't actually file bankruptcy. He went out of business, and he owed all these people, but he worked hard as he could, and he paid all those people back and got his business back. Why? Because he didn't push that aside, because that's just not what happened. And this is what this means today. We have to teach our children, because they're not going to get it in the school system, by and large, to honor. Honor means heavy. The verse we're going to look at, there's just two of them, actually, in Exodus and Ephesians, where it is a command. You know what a command means? It's imperative. It means you don't have a choice. Children, it says, obey your parents. Well, let's go ahead and read the verse. Just to show you, though, I've got a couple of things here now, because the language has changed, hasn't it? What we used to say among our families of our age, you know, if I was born in 58, so if you're back in that era, you know what I'm talking about. So now some of the language they use doesn't mean the same thing. Or I guess they say it does, but it just kind of waters it down. Political correctness for kids. Your bedroom isn't cluttered, it's passive restrictive. What does that mean? You're a slouch. You won't clean up your room. That's what that means, right? Kids don't get in trouble anymore. They're merely hit social speed bumps. Is that right? Is that what you talk to your kids? Y'all remember that movie a few years ago, Parental Guidance, where they never use no, and you don't say these negative words to your kids because it affects their psyche? Y'all remember that? You need to see that. Because Billy Crystal was on target with his deal. He said, what you mean nobody loses? How you play a game and nobody lose? Who saw that movie? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Go see that movie. It's clean enough. Anybody can see that movie. You're not having a bad hair day. You're suffering from rebellious follicle syndrome. No, your hair looks like rats have been in it. That's what it is. You're not shy. You're conservatively selective. Huh? You don't talk a lot, you're just abundantly verbal. Wow. No, you talk too much. It's not a call gospel anymore, it's transmission of near factual information. We would call that fake news, right? Your homework isn't missing, it's just having an out-of-notebook experience. You're not sleeping in class, you're rationing consciousness. So when someone says, honor your father and mother, it doesn't mean the same thing anymore. So you got to teach them that. They don't have a clue what that means. Obey? Obey who? We don't obey anybody. It don't matter if we're 2 years old or 25. As we're going to see, we do our own thing. You're not being sent to the principal's office. You're going on a mandatory field trip to the administration building. We call it the office. You're not being dishonorable to your parents. You're exercising your freedom from responsibility moment. Honor and respect your parents. Look at this. Chapter 20 of Exodus. God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses. And as you know, this is the fifth one of the Ten Commandments. This is the first one that had a promise. What is that? That guarantee. It means absolute. If you do this, you will be better off in your life. That's how it translates, all right? Honor your father and mother. Honor means heavy. It means they carry a lot of weight. They're respectful. What they do, you know, just who they are means you'll pay attention to them. That's what that means. That's how the word translates. It actually means heavy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land to which the Lord your God will give. They're going into the promised land, okay? They've been in bondage. They're going into the promised land that God promised them. And he says that your future will be great. That's what he's saying. And this is a small thing. If you do this, he said, I guarantee it. Honor your father and mother. And this is the first one with the promise, as we'll see in a moment when we read Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Obey your parents. Wow. What is that? That's an imperative. What does that mean? means mandatory. You don't get to choose whether you're going to do what your mom and daddy says. Now, we're going to talk about this in just a moment, because if they're non-believers, and especially when you are the age where you can understand, if they're trying to do you tell you to do something that's absolutely against what God says, and you know that, that's a little bit of difference of a story, okay? But he's talking about, as a general rule, we respect them in that authoritative position. And it says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment that has a promise. Promise. God says, I promise, I guarantee you, if you do this, you'll be better off than if you don't do this. That's simple, isn't it? I guarantee. How often do we have people that make promises and have no intention of keeping them? It was on a voting day, and Bertha Morgan was had been to vote, and she stopped by the little bakery to get her some cinnamon rolls and donuts, and the guy in front of her was ordering a bunch of stuff, and he asked the baker, he says, now, you guaranteeing that all this stuff has no calories, right? He says, absolutely no calories. So the guy's by him and said, now, you know what's going to happen to you if you lie like this, don't you? He said, yeah, I'll go to Congress. That's what happens. It's a guarantee. No, unfortunately. Make sure you pay attention. There is some voting going on next week, right? Hello? Yes. A promise. I mean, it's absolutely it's going to happen. To honor your father and mother, to honor our parents, is to begin with the recognition, number one, that our existence depended on them. Did you know that? Without your mom and daddy, where would you be? Out yonder in the cosmos somewhere. You ain't been created yet. Listen, in our day and time, we get to the place now where we think we are who we are and we don't need anybody else. Then how'd you create yourself? Did you? Any of y'all create your own self? That's where you start. We forget, number one, we owe them the simple respect and honor, because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be. And that's exactly where we start. Especially here in the West, we live in such a cultural emphasis on the individual, and boy, are we there now, right? That we forget that we didn't just spring out of somewhere into our own existence by ourselves. We didn't do that. So if for no other reason, he says, you respect them because they are your parents. And we're going to see it in just a moment. He doesn't qualify it. He says, he never says, oh, just respect them if they're good and if they treat you good. That's not what he says. He just says flat, honor and obey them, period. In the majority of instances, our parents were the first ones. Let me ask you something. You remember back when you were just one day old? Any of y'all remember yourself that well? No, you don't. Did you feed yourself the first day? Or when you were 6 months old, I know some of you were talking when you're 6 months, and you were walking when you're 7 months, right? And you were riding when you were 8 months. But did you feed yourself any of those days? No. Do we forget that? You know, we can't be self-dependent. We have to remember, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't make it. And if you don't think so, just look at what goes on out there in the world right now. The promise of the commandment. The commandment has a promise, and the promise gives us a clue. Gives us insight as to why it is so important. Why? Because your welfare will be better. Here's how that unfolds, okay? It is a way of saying that this commandment is for the ordering of society, for human flourishing. There has to be some order and authority that comes from our parents. There's always some kind of authority in any kind of system. You know, everybody can't be in control. You know, it just doesn't work that way. And whenever that is operational and it's passed down and everyone understands it, then everybody gets along better. So that's what he's talking about. If you have a situation where the parents are not ordered, and you know, bless your heart, I guarantee you, there's people in this room that grew up in that system where, you know, the parents really don't care. You know, they just kind of let you go, and if, you know, it was root hog or die. If you make it, you just make it on your own at a young age. I understand that. So you know better than some of the rest of the people in here who had an ordered society. What happens is, when that happens, the entire culture will come undone. What is the American culture right now if it's not undone? Anybody want to tell me? That's exactly what's happened. Why? Because we have not done this. As we looked at last week, you know, coming out of Joshua, what happened? when Joshua and the elders died, the ones who were handing them God's word and what they were supposed to do, and from honoring their parents to everything, when they died, how long was it before the generation went to hell? One generation. I know that in our own extended family. Because some people my age did not do any of this to their children to teach them some basic things. So they live like pagans. And the culture is undone where that goes on. You can see it in all the abuses that's going on, from gambling to lottery to alcohol to drug. That's all that. Those are epidemics of that. It's the same thing. The entire society begins to unravel when we don't pass things on to our children that are valuable things. And that's what it says. Here's the important thing. You have to teach your children to honor their parents and their grandparents. And if you're an adult child here and you still have a living parent, you may need to go back to them and say, you know, I apologize because I didn't do this right. I'm sorry. And it may be their fault because they didn't teach you. Because you don't just pull this up out of, you know, we learned some things in school. We did learn how to respect people that were older than us. We did learn that. You don't learn that now, do you? No one respects anybody else. That's why everybody steals from everybody and abuses their stuff. And you know, they're always doing something just disrespectful because they don't respect anybody because they haven't been taught that. You know, we were taught to respect people that were older than us. And I'm talking about from people who were not believers. So it doesn't say just because you're a believer. Godly values have to be taught again and again and again and again. Every generation has to make sure the children after them learn this and show them, you know how important this is? Do you really want to have a better life on this earth? This is a guarantee. God says, I guarantee you, I will do this if you will do this, if you will honor them. The passing on establishes our intergenerational stability. Now, I don't know if any of you were raised up in a second to third generation home. My grandmother on my dad's side lived with us till I was 14. And they were all raised in a home where their grandparents were raised. I mean, at the same time. They all had big houses. They had a lot of kids. So when one got married, until they got too many of them, but surely the early ones that were just married lived in the same house where the parents and the grandparents live. Anybody in that situation? So the grandparents helped teach the children's children what they needed to do. So they had two emphases of it. And it's amazing what I said a moment ago about my dad. I never in my life saw him take one thing that wasn't his. Was his father a believer? No, a pagan. Was his mother raised a believer? No, a pagan. But they did teach him a few things. The generation passed down was, you don't take anything that's not yours that you don't have permission. I don't care what it is. If it's a piece of bubble gum or a gym clip. If you don't have it, you don't do that. So we pick that up even from lost people. You see, it is our responsibility, moms and dads and grandparents. You may have to teach your grandkids because your kids may be too sorry to do it. I mean, I'm just being honest. They out there making so much money and running all over the world, they don't have time to raise their own kids, so you're having to raise them, so you'll have to take that responsibility. And God will deal with them later. Because if you shun that responsibility and you don't take it, don't think you're going to get away with that. Because God's going to ask you one day, why did you let that happen? I left you in charge of that situation. Why did you let that happen? That's just the way that goes, okay? You might not like it. That's just the way it is. You may think the world's still flat, but that doesn't change the fact that it's probably still around. Isn't that right? A lot of people say, well, I don't believe that. So what? Doesn't mean it ain't going to happen. You got a 50-50 chance. In our Western culture, we stress this personal freedom to the shortfall that is that tradition alone is absent. In many things of importance that should be handed down to our kids and grandkids, they're not getting it. And they're not getting it anywhere else. So we wonder why people act like they do at such a young age. You know, why? Because no one's teaching them. And it's children, when your mom and dad are trying to teach you something, just remember, God always holds you accountable for how you respond. It doesn't matter. However, if we do not succeed at teaching and passing on the most important things to our children, what is going to happen to the culture? What we're happening right now. You know, the culture that we live in now, how far is that from where the culture I graduated from high school in? worlds. Every one of us guys that lived on the farm carried a pocket knife. No one was ever cut. A lot of us had guns in our automobiles. No one was ever shot. You didn't hear anyone answer teacher, no. Boy, you want to get in trouble? Why are you teaching? That's an avenue of respect. You know, you're respecting someone older than you are. However you choose to do it, that's what that means, the same thing. If you don't believe this, just look around what's going on in our culture. If you don't think we haven't failed, because we have. I know in our own family, my age people fail to do this with their kids that are much older than Meredith. And they don't have a clue because their mom and dad haven't taught them. And they ain't not going to get anywhere else. If you want to live long in the land where God places you, you got to have this intergenerational stability. We have to teach them. And a lot of that, you know where it's taught? By action in the house. That's where it's modeled. You know, I don't have time to share that story. Let's go on. Today, all this individual freedom leads many young people. I'm not picking on young people, but this is what's happened to the last several generations. When I say young, I don't mean just 10-year-olds now, okay? I mean several generations. They think that the whole universe begins with them. So anything that was true back yonder, oh, it's irrelevant. I don't know what the pansy looking little guy was. I saw the headline. Some kind of millennial reality star. He looked kind of pansy like to me. And I didn't read it. I just saw the headline. This is what it said. You shouldn't be telling your children about World War II because it affects their mental health. Literally. Yeah? Do you know what happened in World War II? Oh, it's not important. Because only things that are important is what's happened since I came on the scene. See how that works? So all of us old geezers to them, we don't know anything. We stupid. You know, we can't learn anything from them. That's what that means. If we're not careful, we're helping our kids get to this place where the world is about them only and everything from when they start on, not anything behind them. When we begin to think like that, we start to process everything through a lens that anything happening before me is not important. Have you ever seen that lately? Boy, it's all over the place. I mean, that's what the culture is all about. And we're failing to give them what they most need if we allow them to think, oh, the only things that are important is since you came on the scene. Everything that happened before you was irrelevant. You don't need to pay attention to it. You don't need to learn anything from it. Why? Because you're so smart. Isn't that right? They think, well, this commandment does not apply only if the children have good parents. A lot of people say, well, you know, if they were godly parents, that's not what it says. It didn't say honor them and respect them only if they're godly. That's not what it says. It doesn't say obey them only if they're godly. Look at it. Children, obey your parents as in the Lord. Now, here's the kicker. A lot of young people say they're believers, and they're so disrespectful to their parents. How you get that? You know, one way to show honor and respect, especially when they're not asking you to do something against what God says, is you do what they say. Because I guarantee you, even if they only have 10 years on you, they know more than you know. Right? Me at 60, I guarantee you, I know than Meredith knows. I have to remind her that. A lot of times, because she thinks she knows everything sometimes. I say, whoa, wait a minute. Let's back up. You know anything about this? Well, I don't know about that. Right. There's a lot you don't know anything about. And that's what happens, right? And exactly what happens? If we're not careful, that's exactly what it says. Children, obey your parents. And it doesn't qualify it. It just says, obey them, period. Boom. Here's the thing. If we parents had enough sense to teach them the right things to obey, if you're asking them to do the right things, then there's never any conflict. But if they do get an inkling of what Jesus wants, and you're always living something else in front of them, and you want them to do something else, don't be surprised, because there are come times we'll see in just a moment when we have to disobey and say, you know, God doesn't want me to steal, so even though you're telling me to steal, I'm not going to steal for you. So you see, when we get there, we have to use our common sense. But it says, as a general rule, you show respect, and you do what your parents tell you, especially, and absolutely, the context of this means someone who's living in the house. okay? The words he uses, it doesn't mean just a two-year-old, because in that day and time, just like in some of my grandparents' day and time, when you got married, the first maybe year or so, you lived with the parents until you could get out on your own. So basically, it's talking to, it doesn't matter if you're 50. If you're living under the roof with your parents, that's exactly how you do that, until you get out. And we'll see. Look how this works quickly. A close analogy of this is when Paul talks about it. He says what? Obey the king. Honor the king. Were the kings in Paul's day godly? Who killed Paul? A king? Nero? What about Caesar? Calga? You know, he was, those guys were as pagan as you could be. He said, but you know, God still has some authority there. And unless they tell you to do something against God, you're supposed to, you know, we know Peter said, oh no, I know you said not to preach, but God said for us to do it, so hanging on your beat, we're going to do it. So when they tell us we can't do something that's against God, then we don't obey. But basically, when it says don't drive at 55, you know what you should drive? 55. I know some of you don't have that on your speedometer, does it? You only have 70, 90, something like that. That's what that means. It's there for our good. That's what it means. You just don't want to get to the spirit of sneering condescension and mocking fatherhood in general. Now, let me ask you something. What is fatherhood portrayed as now in the culture? An imbecile. He's stupid. You can't listen to him. Where is Father Knows Best? What is he talking about? You don't never know that show, do you? You see what I'm talking about? Am I right or wrong? Any of these sitcoms that you watch, what do they portray the father as? He's just stupid. He don't know anything. We don't need to listen to him. He just helps bring the money in, but he don't tell us what to do. He don't have anything to do with us. That's exactly what that is. And that's where you get if we do not make sure our children know that from God's perspective, especially if you're sitting here and you say you're a believer and you're dishonoring your mom and dad, you need to back up, because you are way wrong. And Jesus corrects it for us. To honor your father and mother does not presuppose that at every age of your existence that you should obey them. When you get out of the house, it kind of says, okay, I respect you, I'll listen to you, but I don't have to do what you say anymore because I'm out there on my own. Literally, that's what that means. Until you do that, you're under their roof. So when a couple gets married, they start a brand new home, and now they're their own entity, and now they make those decisions. As we'll see, it doesn't mean that you never ask your parents some advice or to counsel, but you're not obligated, and it's not disrespectful if you say, you know, I hear what you're saying, I appreciate it, but we've made this decision, we're not going to do that. Okay? That's what that means. However, there's a way of honoring and respecting our parents once we have become adults. That does not mean simply doing every little thing they say. You know, I didn't get married till I was 25, and Daddy would say, you know, you sure you need to do that? And I said, yeah, Dad, I think we're going to do that. It's a different world than he was living in. It wasn't wrong. It wasn't disrespectful. It was just a different way than he was raised. And that's okay, because it was not dishonoring to God. It wasn't illegal or anything like that. But I just said, nah, you know, I think we're going to do it this way. And he respected that. And that's what that means. The practical implications of honoring our parents is really not that hard to flesh out quickly. Here's one of them. It means we take the responsibility for keeping in touch. If you get out of the house, used to it meant, you know, for how many years, all of us, the four kids, my three siblings, none of us live more than 2 miles from mom and daddy. That ain't the case anymore. Now you're lucky if one of your children, when they leave the house, if they leave the house, they don't live within 200 miles of you, right? I mean, that's common now because everybody moves all over the world. So really, that's what that means. When you're away from them, it's your responsibility to honor them by just checking on them, even if they never do it. And we had one side of our family that when we moved away, that they didn't do that. Debbie's side of the family, and you know, I'm kind of hard. I just said, we don't have to have you. Literally, that was my take. I didn't tell them that. And Debbie said, she kept reaching out to them, and they didn't deserve it, okay? That's why I said, hey, no problem. If I never go back down there, it ain't going to bother me. But she didn't see it that way. Her step-parents, she's trying to stay in touch with them. You know, it's an indictment against me. I learned something from it, absolutely. Did I stay in touch with my parents after I moved away? Yeah. Still tends to touch my immediate family. Talk to my brother just about every day because he's kind of like a dad to me. That's what that means. It doesn't matter how they treated you. You try because of Jesus. That's the reason. Not for anything they did or didn't do, just because of Jesus. Even when it's awkward, we treat them with respect because you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them, right? Even when we're not sure that they earned it. Because a lot of times, man, they might have did a horrible job, but it doesn't say. Only if they did a good job. We become interested in their opinions. Just ask them. There's some kind of respect. Say, what do you think about this? Even though you know it's going to be crazy and you're never going to do it, it's respect to say, and who knows, you might can learn something still from them, right? It's amazing what a 50-year-old person knows that a 20-year-old person doesn't know, even though that 20-year-old person has 4 or 5 degrees already. Why? Because you learn a bunch of stuff nowadays that ain't so. So you need somebody with some common sense to kind of help you filter through it, right? And what, what's his name, Will Rogers said? You know, it about all these guys, he says, it ain't that they know so much, they just know so much that ain't so. That's the problem. That's exactly what it is. It does not bind us to do, after we get out of the house, what they say, but being respectful is just saying, hey, what do you think about that? You'd be surprised how enlightening they could be on some issue, just by experience. As their horizons sometimes grow smaller and smaller in older age, they don't get to get out as much. They don't get to do as much. They're confined. We make sure that we know what's going on. You know, in the last days that Mama was alive, I didn't get to go down there much. Should have gone more. Didn't get to. Too many things going on. But my siblings were around, and when I'd ask Mama, because I talked to her all the time on the phone, how you doing, Mama? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'd ask my brother and sister, no, she ain't. And if you don't have brothers and sisters around, find out who your parents' neighbors are. And find out to call them, say, how are they doing? They say they're doing all right, but you're around them, you see them. How are they really doing? That's respectful. That's being honoring to them. What is going on in their life, and how is it you could help them? You know, even from far, far away. And you can. Even if we believe they didn't always do what was right. And let me tell you something. There's no parent ever going to do everything right. Ain't that right? They make a mess of it at 2 and 3, 5 and 6. Then finally, when maybe they get around 12 or 13, the parents start to have a clue what's going on. Sometimes. So everybody makes mistakes. So if you're waiting on, well, whenever my parents get it all right, I'll honor them. Then you never will, because they're going to make mistakes, because they're human. All of us are. We become concerned for their well-being. Why? Because of the love of Jesus in us. And because they're our parents. No other reason. That's it. Ultimately, bless them out of a love and relationship with Christ. You know, it just burns me up. I'm just going to tell you. When I see young people, and they say they're Christians, being disrespectful to their mom and dad in front of me, here's what I want to do. If it wasn't Debbie, I probably would. I had my uncle, how many times, when it lived close to us, if you ever were disrespectful or said something kind of a little bit out of line, he'd get on to us. And he wasn't my daddy. Why? Because all this stuff that we've talked about, the culture says, oh, we have all this freedom now. Jesus says you don't. And especially if you're a believer, whatever your age is, children, if you say that you love Jesus, you better figure out how to be respectful to your mom and dad, or you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, and you're going to be in trouble. That's what that means. We still listen to their instruction and advice, correction, but we don't necessarily have to do it once we get out of the house. But we can just say that and say, you know, I appreciate that, but I think we're going to do something different. You know, and you don't have to be ugly about it. We're in that broad domain where it's Proverbs says what? Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. You can still learn from them. Guarantee you. You can learn something from everyone, right? What not to do or what to do. Paul deals with this situation in 2 Timothy. You remember Paul says, in the end times, and the end times means from the time Jesus died on the cross, and now we're living in that time afterwards until Jesus comes back to this earth. So we're in that time that he called the end times. Look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that reality? Covetous, boasters, you could say politicians there, couldn't you? Proud, blasphemers, look at this one. Disobedient to parents. Wow. He lists that in the list of all these horrible things? Yes, it's that bad. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, liars, without self-control, fierce despisers of those who do good. Do we see that one? Have Christians been more attacked in the United States ever than we are right now? In the United States. They've always been attacked in other places worse. Traitors, headstrong, arrogant, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And he puts disobedient of parents in there with all those atrocities. What does that mean? He's talking serious stuff. Children, regardless of what your age is. And Jesus does the same thing. You know, Jesus singles out, you know, these verses, you have to unwind this a little bit. It says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. You said, Jesus says, you got to hate your mom and dad? You got to understand the context, all right? Look what he says. And whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me. Simply translated, this means what this is. When you compare your commitment to Christ to your commitment to your mother and father, and your commitment to your mother and father over Christ, the commitment compared would look like you hate your mom and dad. It would be like commitment to Christ is here, and the commitment to mom and dad would be so far down, it would look like hate. Does he mean hate them? Oh, no, look what he says to the Pharisees. You have to understand that. What does he do here? He rebukes the Pharisees, the most conservative religious group on the earth in Jerusalem, when he's there. Look what he says to them. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, he's going to tell you where it is, that you may keep your own tradition. What does that mean? They got together and they said, this is the way we're going to do this. Man's tradition. We do it all the time in churches, right? Same thing. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, Exodus 20. We just read it. And whosoever curseth father or mother, wow, let him die the death. Does Jesus mean you're supposed to hate your mom and daddy? Oh, no. No, 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 no. Look at this part. But you say that if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift of whatsoever that thou mightest have profited from me, he shall be freed. Basically, here's what that is. They could set aside money to go to the temple, or even actually they could launder it around to themselves. And they say, oh, no, 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 we can't give this to mom and daddy because this is set aside for the temple. And he says, what happens is you don't give it to the temple. You're just not giving it to your mom and daddy. And look what he says to them. That's wrong. Wicked, it's selfish because the Bible commands you. He saw that as dishonoring to their parents because really they were not taking care of their own parents. They were setting aside for themselves, basically, when you look at the whole scheme of it. And he chastised them for it. He said, by your own tradition, you're nullifying the word of God. So was Jesus serious about honoring your mom and daddy? Oh, yeah. So, you know, don't just pull that word out when it says, Jesus said, I hate your mom and daddy. Read the whole story. He said, oh, no, not even close. And he's going to hold them accountable. He's going to hold us accountable. So Jesus says, as strong as anyone on this business of honoring our father and our mother. And he says, the language, he goes all the way back to where? Exodus chapter 20, what we just read. Children, respecting your mom and dad and honoring them is serious business. But look at this. If you do that, number one, you should do it because you love your mom and dad. You should do it because if you're committed to Jesus. But look what he says will happen. Your life will be much easier than if you don't do it. Wow. Guess what? You have to teach your kids that. They're not going to get anywhere else. And if we do not, we have the culture we have right now. As far as parents, children. If you don't believe me, just go to a store sometime in the public and watch how the parents allow their children to treat them in public. You know, 5 years old, 6 years old, even 12 years old. If you don't think this is not true, just observe a little bit and you'll say, oh, man, we missed it. Yeah, we have. But we still can correct some of it with God's help. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you love us. We make so many mistakes. We think we're so smart. We think we can do it on by some psychologist or some person who has an education, and they tell us that we don't really need your word, that we can just raise our children this way and let them do whatever they want to do, and they'll still grow up all right. Father, forgive us for our slackness, for our unattentiveness, for our preoccupation with the world, that we don't take care of our own kids. Father, just convict us, remind us that your grace is sufficient to help us with the mistakes we've made already, and give us the strength to correct those where we can and where we still have time, so that they will prosper because of that blessing, and that you'll be glorified because they honor their parents. In Jesus' name, amen.